Well, good morning. Good afternoon, I should say. It's the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I got Philip Walthall here to my right and James Usler on my left, which would be Skype.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Yes.
Good morning.
Okie dokie. So, there were some similarities in the subject matter of this morning's services. From the struggle to, you know, resolve that I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to serve myself, and I'm going to serve the Lord. And that resolution has to come when you first get out of bed. It's not where our default position is, which is where we are when we wake up, I guess. I know it's ugly. And it's ugly before I even see the mirror image. So it's a face for radio is what we're talking about. Well, can't see how hideous and awful the natural man is. And that's why I don't like mirrors. But I digress. Colossians really describes the process of throwing off the old man. And it's glorious. It's glorious that we have the opportunity to do that. It's glorious that it's a privilege and honor to be able to come to the Lord and just put off our desires, our choices, our desire to please ourselves, and to put on Jesus Christ. So, talk to me.
Well, it's a daily choice, Paul, that we have to make. You know, like you said, every day when we wake up, are we going to serve ourselves or are we going to serve the Lord? And I can tell you, it's not easy to the flesh, but it is a far better day when you choose to serve the Lord.
I didn't, Davey put in the chat that I should have said if I didn't, that, one of the ways to show people, to show to people that you're doing the Lord's thing is to be doing the works of God. Heal sick, raise dead, cast out devils, that kind of thing. But I was by implication saying if I'm doing the Lord's thing, that stuff's going to happen. And I don't suppose I should have left it implied. I should have nailed it to the point. That is definitely what separates and causes polarization, because they either get scared of you or they want to get what you've got. And either way, when the Lord shows up with power, it's going to separate those who.
Well, it brings them to the place of opportunity to make that decision.
Absolutely. It causes the polarization that's necessary to bring people to accountability. To close the deal. So, what did we want to talk about? What? Anybody got any scriptures they're interested in? They can't see that expression. You're going to have to say something. Oh. Words.
No, I don't have any particular scripture in mind.
Wow.
Well, Phil hit on, I mean, can I, Phil hit on something this morning, you know, that stayed with me, and that was how overwhelming situations can be just day to day. And if we walk after the flesh and under our own understanding, things are overwhelming. But when we put our trust in the Lord and walk after His Spirit, or walk in the Spirit, and not look to the situation, but trust in His ability to accomplish all things, which He promises to His people, it's amazing how the Lord is able to move and things get done in a way that we can't even imagine.
You know, the thing is that overwhelming nature, or that feeling of being overwhelmed, doesn't take long before it moves from that into just fear. And that is, you know, at that point, the enemy's got you bound up and, you know, hands are tied and behind you, and you're just afraid to do anything, afraid to say anything. And that fearful, that fearfulness is a spirit. You got to just deal with it. Right?
Paul, I'd say it also might be, you know, a part of, you know, it's unbelief, in the sense that when we stand in that, we don't believe in the sufficiency of the Lord to fulfill what needs to be done, you know, to accomplish the things at hand.
Right. Well, I got caught reading the chat, so I wasn't even paying attention to what you said. Say what you said again.
I said, you know, it's also, it's unbelief, in the sense that we aren't trusting in the Lord's sufficiency and ability to accomplish what's at hand. You know, we fall into unbelief when we're in that overwhelmed state.
Well, you know, it's passive resistance. Simply by not, honing in on it, reminding yourself about His Word, and that if the more you are withdrawn from His Word and withdrawn from fellowship, the more expansive that unbelief becomes, because it just grows in the absence of the challenge. That's what I mean by it's passive. We pass right into it, simply by not attacking it and feeding our spirit, feeding our mind the Word of the Lord, and feeding each other fellowship. Davey said, that's okay. They don't listen to me while I talk either. How true some of that is about some of us some of the time. Oh, I'm not admitting to anything. Okay, well, let's see. That's part of, you know, putting on the hardware. When you're constantly in the Word, and you become a hardened structure against the enemy, and he can't penetrate fortification. And it is, part of the, 2 Timothy charge to endure hardness.
It also says, study to show thyself approved to God.
So, that, that charge, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You cannot, we're in a battle, and, you know, if you're going to sit down and take a rest, the enemy's going to swarm you and just beat the crap out of you. That's part of, our tendency to get passive and not engage the enemy. If we're not engaging the enemy, we're giving the enemy opportunity to swarm us. It keeps that fortification hardened to stay in his words, to stay in prayer, to keep reminding yourself that you need to re-resolve. However many times you have to resolve to be about his business and trust him to deliver victory after victory after victory in constantly engaging. If you're not engaging, you're not advancing. If you want to live passively and just not do anything, the enemy's winning. The enemy's winning, right?
Yep.
So, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Also, that's what we do. We hope. That's what our goal is, right? Our goal is to impart this knowledge, impart the power of the word, impart the power of the life of Jesus Christ into trustworthy, faithful men so that they can go out and give the same testimony. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's hard. What's hard about it? Just talk about your entire week. What was your week like? Hard, right?
Yeah.
And when you fight against the old man, it's hard. Yet it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. What you have to do is take the battle to it. That is what being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus is about. That's how being strong in the grace, that's what that looks like. Keeps engaging the enemy. Fighting. And when the Lord is supplying you the weapons and the strength, He's supplying the battle fatigues. When you put on the uniform, you actually move into a place where engaging enemies is fun because you win, because you trust the Lord. Well, y'all are just really talkative today. What do you think, James?
Well, I think that, you know, putting off the old man is probably our biggest adversary. It is always working against us if we're trying to walk after the Lord. And when we can overcome that fully, then we can really go out and minister his love and gospel to others.
Well, it's so bad because it's in league with the enemy. It agrees with the enemy. Because you can't do that, and then you agree with him. That's ugly. Well, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's what Scripture says. You have to come against it with what is truth of the Word, right?
Absolutely. You've got to use the Word against your own carnal man.
Absolutely. Just like
that's the only way you can battle them.
You got to treat it like it is the enemy, and it's in a league with the enemy, and you treat it with the same word that you come against the enemy with. You got to identify those that are on your side and those who aren't, and those two that live with you, that's the ugly ones. I've seen the enemy, and it is me. It's so often is it was just never truer. You got somebody in your camp that agrees with the enemy, and he is not on board. Scary. That's why it makes a difference. Being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You have to see the enemy for what it is and keep it engaged. Keep yourself engaged in the battle. Take the battle to it.
Well, you know, where it says, and to teach others also. It's kind of funny that you mentioned that as I was talking about my work meeting last night. And that was the essential elements that we talked about, was passing off the knowledge of what we have learned in the business and carrying out to the others that are in the company. And if we're not doing that, you know, in the same sense, if we're not doing that, and because we're not doing it as we should, what ends up happening is that lack of knowledge ends up affecting the company because it's not getting imparted so that the company can operate to its fullest. And I look at that, and I look at that as far as the church body. If we're not taking that which we have been taught and taking that which the Lord has given us, and if we're not carrying those things out to the rest of the body, which the body, you know, which is the church, how effective is the body going to be with the lack of knowledge? I mean, isn't there a scripture that talks about, and I can't remember, is it my people, they perish because of what? Lack of what? Knowledge. I think I'm messing that up, but I think there's a scripture there. So I mean, to carry that which the Lord has shown you, what the Lord has taught you, and what you have been taught, and carry that out the rest of the body is needful, so that the body can operate as it should, as one, for one purpose, pleasing the Father.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, I was thinking about that earlier. He moved on to endure hardness, but that came to my mind as he said that earlier.
But one of the things that is true is, you know, if you're going to have the enemy in the camp, He's sleeping next to you, right next to you. On your underside. There he is. What I remember is the children of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt into the desert, they had seen the power, experienced the provision, and had the presence of the Lord. And if you're going to take the fight to the enemy, you need the power, the provision, and the presence of the Lord. And that's what the being strong in the grace of Christ Jesus gives you. You've got the power, the presence, and the provision of the Lord to do, to engage, to win the fight. And, you know, it's a recurring battle. And you have to win it, fight it and win it as many times as you have to fight it and win it. A persistent enemy, and it doesn't give up.
And in teaching others to do as well.
Right.
I mean, you know, and in fact...
That's what you were talking about the whole... Every day this week, it was you were seeing that unfold in your life. And the truth of it never... You know, it's like we wake up and we've forgotten everything we've learned previously the day before. You have to go, you know... Have to, you know, take the battle on, put off the old man, put him down, get him quiet, bind him, gag him, so you don't listen to him anymore. But that's really what the, you know, the whole deal is. And just as the Lord revealed to the children of Israel that he was there for them. That's what we keep our scriptures open for, because that we it provides for us his presence, his power, and his provision. It feeds our spirit, strengthens our soul and our resolve to choose the Lord in his ways, and just choose to serve him and not ourselves.
Amen. And you know, we go through these struggles, we go through these battles, and we go, and you know, in going through those things, it's not all about you in those sense, but also that through those battles and through that struggles, you gain what? Experience. You know, what does Paul say in Romans? We glory in tribulations. You know, and then we get that experience, and then experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And that experience is not necessarily for you just to have experience, but that you can teach others throughout your struggle and throughout your battle to when they come up to it, that you have experience and knowledge to impart to them how to get through that and to tap into the Lord Jesus Christ, the provision of getting through that and putting your faith in him to get through that.
Yeah, that
you know what I'm understanding what I'm saying?
Absolutely. The experience, through that experience, the Lord has proven himself to you. And in that, you're able to go out when other people are in situations and give them your testimony and show them that the Lord is true and faithful and is able to deliver them out of anything they're in.
We say, you know, the Lord's proven himself. What does he prove? What specific?
That he is faithful.
That he's reliable.
Reliable.
That he's always available when you call him. He's there, right? He's trustworthy.
Absolutely.
And that's, ironically, I'm trying to see if I could put it a different way, but That is the definition of the patience word. That's exactly what it's talking about.
And we just have to humble ourselves and receive it.
Amen. And I mean, the other thing that it also does is showing that the Lord, His provision is there and He's faithful and it's reliable, is also that you can also have what compassion on them through their going of it. That's another aspect that it does as well for others.
Yeah. The thing is, learning this truth is frequently unpleasant. And to get to the point where Paul was, where he could glory in the tribulation, he told the Ephesians in 3:13, before just the verse before Steve's picked up, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." You see somebody's going through stuff, they're going through stuff for other people, so that the other people can see the deliverance of the Lord in them. You know, that's unfolding for certain in people we know. And you know, I confess to you, man, my attitude's not right about it a lot of the time. Because this is really not something I wanted, I was looking for. Listen, I love you guys, but I don't really want to go through any tribulation for you. And that's, you know, that is where I'm at when I'm not putting off the old man. I'm selfish. And that, you know, that selfishness is something I have to deal with. I have to deal with. Put it off. And, you know, everybody else is this, they got the same stuff going on. So it's, you know, it's hard to, you know, cop an attitude about them. The attitude you need to have is compassion. Because they're just like you are, and you're not doing so well right now.
You know, I mean, I think one of the greatest joys that I had this week, and I, you know, share this with a little bit, is the guy that I'm training up to be my second man there at work, the Gerald's Tires and Brakes. It's been, how can I say, it's been a long road with him. I mean, it's been a long road to try to instill in him how to operate and to keep the floor running and to keep things running on the floor how I would have them do it. And it's been, I mean, we've had our ups and downs and woozies and doozies and back and forth. And it's just been, I don't know, I think he's been there for about, I've been dealing with that for about 2 years now. I mean, it's been a long time. But to see, and one of the biggest things, I mean, you know, and I'm looking at this and it's like, all right, he's starting to grab it. You know, all right, he's starting to grab it and then it's falling back. He's starting to grab it and then it's falling back. And, I tell you this last week in this past run, I mean, I was really having, a hard time for myself to keep pushing through and to get the things done. That's what was required. It just was a lot harder than usual. And it's overwhelming. And it's just a bunch of BS that I had to just keep putting off and want to jump right back all over me. But in that time, I seen him step up to the plate where I wanted to see him at for a long time. And not just did he not just wanted to see what I expected of him, he did more than what I expected. In the sense of the way he operated was exactly. I mean, I tell you, when you see that, when you see that, I mean, what brought it to mind was Paul is when you were talking about, you know, the tribulations for other people. You're going through it, or you know, somebody going through a struggle for other people. Do you know what I'm saying? And but to see that was a real great joy to me. Is because we struggled. Me and him, we have struggled to get him to a certain point. We have gone through some tribulation together. And all of a sudden, then you see the fruit of it. You just turn around and say, praise God. It was worth every bit of those falling outs, brawling outs. And you know what I'm saying? It was just worth it. Absolutely worth it. So, you know.
Phil.
Praise God, you know.
Get that breakthrough, man.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it happened at the time where I needed it the most. And I mean, God's good, and that ministered unto me. Do you understand what I'm saying? And, you know, what can I say? Thank you, Lord.
The other side, Phil, you know, you said it's been a long road, and it's been ups and downs and struggles. And I don't want to speak for everybody, but it sounds like my walk in the Lord. Do you know what I mean? And you were extending grace to him as the Lord has extended grace, say, to me and you. And
well, my walk's been the same way. I mean, I understand.
Absolutely.
I absolutely understand.
And if we're going to walk as he walked, that's, you know, it's going to be extending that grace and having mercy and knowing that we are the exact same. And absolutely. Only by God's grace are we even here today.
Amen to that.
If that makes sense, I hope it does.
It made sense to me. I mean, I don't know how far that goes. But that does make sense, James.
But I mean, it's our testimony of how the Lord's treated us. And you know, we need to go out and do the same for others. It reminds me of my mom this morning was speaking of, it's in Psalms 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And, you know, the end of the verse is, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And, you know, she was angry, she said. And, you know, she came to the place that she needed to humble herself. And, I mean, my gosh, I've been an evildoer. I still have evil doings. And, you want those people, you've been in the same place they have, you want them to have the opportunity to know the Lord. And so that instead of being angry at them, you can be angry at what they're doing, but you lift them up in prayer and ask the Lord to give an opportunity for them to learn about him, or, you know, for you to be able to share the gospel with them.
Amen.
Or somebody, you know what I mean? That's the Lord that gives somebody in their life that'll give them the testimony they need to hear to receive the Lord.
Amen. Well, it's neat that you said that, because I remember telling Donnie, I said, look, you know, I said, Donnie, look, I love you. And this was right before like a switch or something, but I said, look, Donnie, I love you. If I didn't, you would not be here right now. I said, but you know what? I said, but I've also had people love me in the same way. In the same exact way. And if they didn't love me, I wouldn't be here right now. And I said, Donnie, that love comes from all the way from the Lord Jesus Christ on down. And, it really was. I mean, that just brought in my mind. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, it really kind of just triggered just now that was really right when he made that turn.
It reminds me of the scripture, you know, go out and preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. You know, it's your actions there that really manifested the Lord's love. By being graceful and having mercy and patience and long suffering.
Yeah. Opportunity. to show that you got something out of that. Out of the truth of the word, First Corinthians 13. That's when you're doing that, you're actually showing the love of the Lord. And you're revealing it. And people have an opportunity to see and be called to account.
Amen.
So it's ministering grace and mercy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other aspect of ministering grace and mercy also is holding the account, because, I look at Donnie for the example, but I think I'm the only, not the only one, but one of the few that would consistently call him to account when he was not doing as expected. Do you know what I'm saying? In the sense of and being consistent with it, right. Not in the saying of beating them down. And I knew when it was just too much on them, and you just need to just give them space. But just to keep that accountability going. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's not easy, because it's much easier for me to say, well, I just don't want to deal with it and not deal with it.
Easier for me to do it myself.
Yeah. But to keep calling that to account, that wasn't an easy thing. And I know it wasn't an easy thing for me, and it wasn't an easy thing for him, but I praise the Lord for where he's at. So.
The Lord deals with us the same way, Phil. You know, when we first come to the Lord, we don't, you know, not every single thing we do wrong is brought to account.
And, right.
You know, the Lord, as we move forward in him, more things are enlightened to us, and we can decide to continue in serving the Lord and putting off the old man in those aspects. You know, but I mean, my gosh, we would fail miserably and give up if every single thing was at one time.
Right. Amen. Amen. And that's exactly how that goes. I mean, you don't grab a new guy and just say, all of a sudden, I expect this, this, and this. No, it's just not going to happen. Not going to happen. And the Lord, you know, and the way the Lord does it is he does it perfectly. I mean, he does it perfectly. I mean, there's all kinds of aspects that I know in my life, and there's a lot of BS in me that needs to be kicked out. Do you know what I'm saying? If he showed me that all in one day, I would have it would be too much to bear. Could not do it. And that's why
we would implode.
Right. And then that's why the Lord deals with us, perfectly to giving those things that we can understand. That we have the opportunity to choose to get shed of those things when that stuff is presented. But he presents them in perfect. I mean, he presents them perfectly to us. One of these past weeks was some situations and things that was just the same thing as you're talking about. Some of those things were, you know what, I need to give unto the Lord and need to be shed of those things, and they need to be shed of those fears, need to be shed of those worries. I mean, because it's all the Lord's, you know. If my life is the Lord's, my life is the Lord's, and I don't need to fret about any of those things and those fears. And once again, those some area that, hey, man, I thought that maybe I have already given to him, just if the light shines and shows some areas where I haven't yet given to him. And the situation brings that out. And look, praise God. Praise God. Then now I can be shed of those things and go forward in him. And, I mean, the Lord's good at that. I think we were watching The Walking Dead not too long ago, Paul and I, and, it was an interesting thing, because he had the situation where this woman knew a truth, but she did not share this truth with the other man, because at that time, if she shared that truth with that man, it would have been bad for him. It would have been detrimental. It would have done no good and no profit at all. You understand what I'm saying? But she waited till a situation came up. Then after the situation came up, then he could understand the truth about something. And then she told him the truth about something where he could understand and make a choice to go forward in.
He
could receive it. And that's how the Lord works with us. You understand what I'm saying? And he's perfect in that. Because he's a loving father.
Amen.
Amen.
He knows when we're able to receive those things.
Even if we don't.
Even if we don't.
But, he's gracious and merciful when the it's certainly not what we deserve. And you'd be righteous to slam us, let it have it. But, that's really not what he's after. He's after somebody he can bring along to become a reliable servant, a reliable friend, somebody that he can share stuff with. Somebody that'll be about doing his will, doing what he wants done, doing it in his place.
Amen.
And you don't get there by just, you know, continuing to hammer the head. Sometimes you gotta be gracious and merciful. You know what I mean? You don't hammer your kids. Although, you know, surely at times they deserve it. Cause you're trying to bring them up to be decent people. People that, can teach
want somebody to know the Lord.
Right.
I mean, that's my biggest thing. I'm like, I don't give a crap if they're a doctor or just a, right. Digging a ditch or, you know, whatever. But I just want them to know the Lord.
You want them to be able to become your ambassador of the Lord to other people.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I mean, it's
that's what I meant by decent people. that is my expectation of the outcome that we want, you know, for our children.
Amen.
And, you know, it's the same with the Heavenly Father. That's what he wants. Somebody he can trust to be a faithful, bearer of the truth and provider, of the truth, somebody who shows the character and nature of the Father to people who don't know him.
Amen. And how good he is.
Well, we come to that poignant moment. I'm going, well, this would be a great place to end. We do still have probably 14 minutes to fill. So, you know.
Well, and you know, being ministers unto the Lord, I mean, since we're going down that line, I mean, being ministers unto the Lord, how else, I mean, it kind of goes back, you know, what I think of as Jonathan, you can do nothing but by me. Scripture also says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
Right.
And, you know, and you go back to loving God, loving one another. You go back to the corn in the Sermon of the Corn that David talked about in ministry conventions. In order to minister unto the people rightly, do you understand what I'm saying? As the Lord would minister unto them, that takes total humility and dying to yourself on that part. Do you understand? I mean, it takes total humility and dying.
The thing that Jesus was showing when he said that those things that I do only those things the Father gave me to do, I say only those things the Father gave me to say. And then the Father brings the people to me that he would have come to me. That it's not about me. It's about the Father and how good the Father is.
Amen.
As a place of humility.
Right. And the only way to minister unto the people what you need is to have that mind of Christ. Which, to have that mind of Christ, the carnal man has to be put to death, down. Put up on that cross. Buried with him in baptism. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then that's where you take, like you said, I only do that which the Father tells me to do and say that which the Father tells me to say. Yeah. And, you know, that is where, that's the direction that will minister unto others rightly and what they need. Kind of like that woman sharing that truth with that fellow in the time where he could receive it. I mean, she could have shared with it, and it would have just before the time that it needed, and it would have just put him in a bad, bad place. It would have been no good for him. I wouldn't say that there would be no hope for him. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it would be a bad place for him. And, you know, looking at that, it's a scary thing. And I mean, because what are we ministering? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, as we go out, what are we ministering? What are we ministering to others? It's kind of scary if you look at it.
Yeah.
And all I can say is I trust the Lord in my screw-ups and all these things and pray for redemption that the Lord can use it anyways. But the Lord's that big. He's bigger than us, too, at the same time.
Yeah, that is true. In Philippians, it says 2:5, what you were just saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being in the form of God. Ought it not robbery to be equal with God? And, you know, it didn't diminish God's status. And it didn't inflate his. So, you know, he was not stealing from the power and position of the Father. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Yes, I do.
Paul, the other people online don't have a clue what you're talking about.
I know. Oh, me. Jesus had the form of equality with the Father, with God. His part of the divine status, of the divine nature, was he was secure in who he was. And it didn't diminish his work. Being found in fashion as a man in every way, subject to the same as every other man. The same failings, potentially the same failing. But he, of course, he didn't have any failings. He was perfect. But he was subject to all the feelings, every experience that every other man experienced. It was the same commonality because he still had the flesh just like we do. The flesh that wanted its own way.
Yeah, he was tempted in every way.
That's right.
Amen.
Yet walked perfectly.
Absolutely.
And it shows that, I mean, and the biggest example to me on that fall was when he was at the rock. Not my will be done. Father, Lord, if all be at possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done. And he strived against the natural. He strived against sin to the sweat of his blood. He strived against what naturally he would want to do to what his father wanted him to do.
Right. You know, and
when we
there were two potentials there. I mean, at least I would have found some justification for him, on his part, I can understand the reluctance to subject this flesh to the spikes and the bleeding and all that, and death. But on his part, being reluctant to be separate from the Father.
Yeah. I mean, not just the physical pain, but be cut off from the Father.
He knew what was going to happen.
He knew it was going
to
happen.
He knew it had to happen for us to have opportunity.
Right. So, you know, this is going to, if I ever make this point here, it's going to be a real truncated point that nobody's going to know where it came from now. being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And the more we get about doing his business and showing that he's with us when we reveal his provision and his presence and his power in our ministry, then that same exaltation, when we are able to agree with him and have this same mind that is not my will, but thy will. You know, I'm only going to do the things that he gave me to do, and I'm only going to say the things he gave me to say to the people he brings me. And when he gives me those people, that I'm going to teach them, and they'll go out and do the same thing. When that's what our business, that's what we're doing, we don't have to seek exaltation. This is coming our way, because that's the same way he revealed the treatment of the Son.
It's also the only way we're profitable to the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
And that name.
I mean, that's the only thing that bears the fruit. Do you know what I mean? Except you abide in me. You know, I mean, because that stems from the Father himself and goes down throughout the vine to the branch.
Right.
Amen, Phil.
So, God highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Doesn't matter whether you believed or didn't. You're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You do it then, it's too late.
You need to be doing it now.
You need to be doing it now.
And we need to be thanking God every day for the opportunity to be doing it now.
That's right.
It takes me to the place in Hebrews where it talks about, once you're inherited your new body, you're not going to take the Lord down and crucify him afresh. And, you know, in the sense of, you're not the position. You might get a new body, But your attitude and your mind and where that is still going to be the same. So, I mean, look, thank God for, I mean, this is the time where we hold ourselves accountable unto the Lord. And this is the time where we choose to put off this old man that we are training. This is training ground for us to get it right for eternal life. This heart and this mind.
Absolutely true.
And we need to thank God that we have this opportunity every day to get that.
That's right, Phil, because now we have grace.
Amen.
Which won't be there forever.
Amen. And now it's about lining our hearts and our mind up with Jesus Christ now. You don't want to wait to the end where Paul says, Paul was just reading Philippians, every knee shall confess, and you haven't been doing it already. You haven't been lining yourself up with that already. That's a scary, scary, scary thought.
You're right. It's too late. And if we think that we're going to be able to stand in heaven without getting these things right now, we're lying to ourselves.
So many welcome people out there never consider that part. I just think the goal is to get into heaven. No, the goal is to stay there. That's the goal.
Amen.
To get there and spend about 45 seconds before I get kicked out, that's not my goal. That's not how it works.
Yep, we need to take the opportunity now and get it right, because, I mean, if we look at our lives, how much we fall short every day.
All right, we've got about a minute, so.
I'm done, Paul.
All righty.
I'm done too, brother.
We thank you for joining us this week for the Hour of Truth. Next week, same time, Lord willing. Till then, may God bless each and every one.
May the Lord bless you all.
May the Lord bless you guys.